you'll find in our second reading in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and reading verse 10. I may have ventured this same subject here before. Verse 10 in Matthew 25. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut eternally, never more to be opened for those whom the Lord leaves to live and die in their sins. And I feel too that this subject, and I'm aware of it in measure, is very solemn, that as I have said, I have come from an open grave, an old lady of 98 years of age and almost 99. And there I stood at the head of her grave with the Lord's help to commit all that was mortal to the grave. And yet, although she was a lady who perhaps had hardly ever spoken of any word of assurance that she had been granted, and yet, as far as I was concerned, I was not without any hope of her eternal standing. I think perhaps one of the most solemn sermons I have ever heard preached from this subject was in Ebenezer Chapel, Old Hill, years ago when we were there, or in that area, on holiday. And I would feel that all of you here tonight, in measure, know that it is a very solemn subject. While I believe I've already quoted this verse in prayer tonight, and yet, oh, how true it is, how stands the case, my soul with thee for heaven. Are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Is that a burden to us? Is that something that you want to know? And if you've known it, you'll feel your great need to be favored to know it again. Well, may I be granted every word that the Lord would have to be spoken from this, I would feel, a very well-known parable. And may we all of us realize at once that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. May we feel that he's speaking to us here tonight in this Bethel Chapel Rye. Here we have a very solemn exposition regarding the reality of an open profession. But that will not leave out any have not, in a right sense, have not been led to make an open profession. It has been the Lord's will that not everyone does. The Lord knows why. When Mr. George Brooks, whom some of us know and perhaps all of us know, was baptized at Braeburn, however many years ago now, Mr. Tyler, who baptized him, spoke about the strict Baptists. He spoke of them as being dry Baptists. And I think perhaps there are those here tonight, and I join with you in this, you know, in some of our chapels. And it is so still today. There are those who have never been brought. I say that because I know it's true. They've never been brought to make an open profession. And I can tell you what is needed if they're going to. And that is the Lord's own word in Psalm 110. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The latest real evidence of this we have more recently known through Mercy in our chapel at Eastbourne. But when that moment came in the case of this comparatively young woman, it was on the Monday morning after the day before, when the Lord had been in his house through his own word. And the subject that day, and it so transpired, and the Lord, I trust, would have it to be so, was really but 2 days after I had been allowed to reach 80 years. And I so longed that it might be made a day of real thanksgiving. And I had to venture that day with these well-known words in Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, and to think that the Lord should favour even me on my 80th birthday with another real token. I'd no thought I was going to say this, but it has come, so I venture with it. And on that Monday morning, the telephone rang about 7:10 in the morning. And there was this dear lady had telephoned to say, I must tell you that I must come and venture to tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. A day of power had come. There are those of you here tonight who can remember such a day as that, as I can. And the thing was that there was such a burden in her heart about it that she said, can I tell you? You think of it. 7:10 in the morning. She had 4 children. She said, I've telephoned because they're not awake yet. Her husband had gone to work. Can I tell you now? Well, of course she could. It was all she could do. Well, I do need guidance. I've needed it today, and I shall always need it. But I trembled really to even venture again to speak from this word. While they went to buy, that is, the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins. And what was it that was lacking in their profession? Because all 10 of these virgins had made a profession. They had made a profession of the name of Jesus. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Before I even begin to mention what I believe to know is the solemn difference between these 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise virgins, they had all made a profession in the very fact that they all had the profession of religion, in the sense that they all had lamps. They all had lamps. What then was the difference? You've all heard it before. What then was the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins? It was this. The foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps. The lamps, I'm sure, speak of an open profession. They had no oil. Their lamps had gone out. Surely there is nothing more solemn for any minister to even venture to speak. They'd made a profession. They had a lamp each. They had no oil in those lamps. And their lamps had gone out. So surely the secret of a real religion is that those who have made a real profession of their faith in Jesus Christ, they then have life in their souls, given to them by none other than the Holy Spirit. How is it with us here tonight? The Lord knows. Now, with the Lord's help then, may I be enabled to speak about evidences of a real religion. What are they, as recorded in this parable? And another solemn thought about this parable is this: then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. They'd made an open profession and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They all were going forth to meet the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hail, thou bridegroom, bruised to death, who hast the winepress trod. Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom of his beloved bride. The bride is his dear people. There is a sense in which I believe it could be said of those that have not made an open profession, but if they are a child of God, they will have oil in their lamps, but they've not made an open profession. But they will have oil in their lamps. they will have spiritual life. But oh, what a thought, dear friends, for all of us here tonight. Our old friend in her Bethesda. I had a telephone conversation on this certain Friday evening, ever long ago now, not very long, and the person I was speaking to said, "I feel I must tell you that Miss Edie Charlish is dying in her Bethesda." She wanted me to know. The Lord knows why he wanted me to know. And that was on the Friday evening. She died on the Saturday evening, whatever the time was. She'd only one more day to live. And when I came away from that telephone call, I can't help telling you this, that I had such a feeling came over me. Does it mean that I will be asked to take her funeral? So that in that sense, I was not unprepared to have another telephone call from the old deacon at Galeed Brighton the following Monday morning. And I felt I knew he wanted to ask me that question, would you be willing to take this lady's funeral now? I feel the Lord had prepared me for it in that way, and all I could say was, with the Lord's help I will hope to do it. Now what about these 10 virgins then? I'm aware you've all heard it before, but friends, isn't it true that we can hear a very, very solemn sermon and it will have no real effect upon our hearts? I'm sure there are those of you here tonight will agree with me in that. We can hear very solemn truths, and yet, unless the Holy Spirit accompanies the word in our heart that is preached, I could use an expression, it is like water on a duck's back. It just runs off. And we can go out of the house of God after listening to one of the most solemn sermons that have ever been preached, and it has no effect upon us. Why? Two things, really. Either we possess no oil in our lamps, or we have become very cold and dead and lifeless. We may have backslidden very badly. And that happens to every real child of God. Could any of us here tonight say that we have never backslidden? O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, and how often they do, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. We can get, you know, in an open profession, we can get in a very cold, careless, dead state. And we can be unmoved by the most solemn preaching that there can be. Now I'm saying that from my own heart, because I've known it. Now then, here we have these 10 virgins. And we are told in the first place, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. Now I've already tried to tell you the trouble with the foolish virgins was they had a lamp of profession, they had no oil, their lamps had gone out, the life of God within them, they didn't have it. They didn't have it. Oh, dear friends, how solemn then is a real religion. It is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And I'm being made to feel that I'm getting nearer my own end. And therefore these things are borne home. I hope through mercy with greater emphasis upon our mind, our heart. Now another thing that's in the parable is this. May we listen. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And yet they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Oh, is there anything more solemn than any one, whether they make a profession or not, coming to our end and proving to be a hypocrite? Proving to be a hypocrite. And I'll tell you, friends, that will be a real burden to you when the Lord makes it so. We will not be allowed to rest on an open profession. We will not be allowed to rest on an open profession. We will not be allowed to rest on the fact that we've been to chapel all our life. We need something more than that. We need spiritual life, which only can be known by the divine power of God the Holy Spirit. And I'm reminded of this word as I venture a little more. Where, what does the Bible tell us about a real religion? Know ye not? Do we? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What a thought. Your body? My body? The temple of the Holy Ghost, spiritual life implanted. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Oh, when that is borne home upon the heart of a believer, and ye are not your own, when we're made aware of it. And why? For ye are bought with a price. And there are those of you here tonight, you know what the price is. The price of redemption, thine own heart's blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, then how real this parable is. And then, of course, the next verse says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But what does it say in verse 5? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. How searching that is. But dear friend, I have to acknowledge that I'm often in a sleepy condition. The Lord makes me aware of it. There are times when I am expected to preach in the week or on the Lord's Day or whenever. And the Lord makes me very aware of how lifeless and how dead I am. And there's even that within me that I don't hardly know what word to use, but there's that within me that would be freed from the solemn fact of being expected to preach because of the state of my own mind and my own soul. Friends, perhaps this is a word for you, dear hearers, here tonight. Oh, don't ever think that the Lord's servants are always in the Spirit. Don't ever think that. Because they're not. They're like you. Hot and cold, sweet and sour. Sometimes grave in Jesus' school. Sometimes light and play the fool. What a motley wretch am I. full of inconsistency. And that is where the Lord brings his dear people. We have to keep being brought there. And then the Lord uses what he brings into our lives. He sanctifies our lives. He uses what he brings us into to stir us up, to make us pray, to feel our need, to be made aware, and we shall tremble, lest after all perhaps of years of a profession, we shall prove to be a hypocrite. Have you ever been tempted that you're a hypocrite? I have. Have you ever been tempted that you're a hypocrite? The devil has tempted me, and my own wicked heart has tempted me at times. And you dare to go in the pulpit, and I'm tempted that I'm a hypocrite. Solemn, you know, isn't it? And yet these are the Lord's method, the Lord's way of maintaining life in the soul of his dear people. And there are those of you here tonight, and you know this is true. What the Lord uses to stir you up, to stir us up again. We have to cry again, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, another thought then, which is very searching, when it's made known to us, while the bridegroom tarried, and in a sense, friends, with all of us here tonight, the bridegroom is tarrying. We're all of us getting nearer and nearer our end. But while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All 10 of them had made a profession. They all slumbered and slept. Would I be wrong to say that I feel in the day in which we live there is a lot of sleepy Christians? And there are times when I'm made to feel I'm one of them. Do you know that? Well, what does the Lord do then? As recorded in the parable. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And at midnight, you know, in that lovely hymn that was penned by a 10-year-old boy on the ordinance of believers' baptism, what does he pen in that hymn? What did he pen in that hymn? I know it's altered in our book, slightly or whatever. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star. I need to just read it to you so that I do not misquote it. What did that 10-year-old boy, we're told he was 10 when he penned that hymn. It just shows the sovereignty of God in what he can do even with a young person. Don't let us forget that he can. When I can just find it in verse 3. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. And oh, don't we often need it? I do. Do you? Well then, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight, the darkest moment of the night, isn't it? I believe it is, you know. Midnight. And at midnight there was a cry made. You think of it, at midnight. I need to be careful what I say, but friends, what about if that happens tonight with us? At midnight. At midnight. And the Lord should come. the poor man who said he'd pull down his barns and build greater, the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then of those things which I've given you." That's not how it's worded. "Thy soul shall be required of thee." I'm aware I am speaking very solemnly, but oh, if it should be tonight. Tonight. Well then, what happens? "And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh." Friend, you know, I do believe this, and I venture with it, but you know, as we draw near our journey's end, we shall be made aware by the very fact of how our body is. I wonder how many of us here tonight have been made aware that our poor bodies are wearing out. And are there not times when you're made to really feel this? "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And you're made aware, you're searched about your end. You're searched about your standing. "How stands the case? My soul with thee is a burden." You know what it is. And the Lord uses, he comes from time to time in his dear people's lives as they get nearer their end. And the Lord comes in one form of affliction or another. One form of affliction or another. And then, isn't it true, then, when the Lord does this, it deepens our concern? It burdens us more than ever before? Well, we're told, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." But friends, if we are searched about our religion, it is no use our trimming our lamp unless we've got oil in the lamp. I'm sure there are those of us here tonight, we still remember when we had paraffin lamps. In the cow shed we had a hurricane lamp or some form of a paraffin lamp. And we would all know this, that if you're going to maintain the light of a lamp, a paraffin lamp, I'm using that way of speaking, you would know that it was important to keep the wick clean and trimmed to keep the lamp going. "And at midnight there was a cry made. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." Oh, friends, if we possess spiritual life, we shall be burdened about our standing. We shall be burdened about our religion. We shall be burdened about our profession if we've made one. The Lord at times, he comes to me like that. And he makes me think, yes, you've been a pastor for however long. What is your standing? You know, the Lord does not allow a pastor or anybody else to rest on their profession. You can't rest on your profession, can you? And then we have this solemn testing time. "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." How solemn. Too late. "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And a solemn thought it is, that if we have made an open profession, it proves that we've never had oil in our lamp, so that our lamps have gone out. Oh, I find the Lord is searching me more than ever now. Do you find it so? Do you find it so? But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you." They knew very well how important it was that they still had oil. "But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And then I venture with the word that I hope and believe the Lord gave me to come with at the beginning of today, before I had to venture to her Bethesda to take that funeral. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came." Here is the centre of the verse. "And the bridegroom, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came." And dear friends, every day he's getting nearer to us. Every day, every moment, he's getting nearer to you and I. Well, I've sometimes thought, what a mercy if I might be found, I hope I will be found, inside of the Word of God that you'll find in the last chapter in the Bible, when the bridegroom, the bride is enabled to say from their heart, even on a dying bed, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I've told this true story. It was in a Cheering Word years ago, and I tell you it again in closing tonight. In an old people's home, there were two ladies, old ladies presumably, that were dying. And one of them was heard to say, "I won't." Meaning, "I'm not going to die. I won't." But the Lord came and took her. What a solemn end to fight against death when it comes. Oh, may we not be like that. The other old lady was dying and did die, but was enabled to say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You think of an old people's home. You know, that's how it can be in any old people's home. Not everyone is ready. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready." It was really that I've come with tonight. "And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." And I closed with what follows here. "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying..." I thought as I read it again tonight, is there anything more solemn than this? For a professing person who's made an open profession to take up this language and the way it's worded. "Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.'" Friends, solemn thought, we can use such language. Addressing the Lord in such a way, "Lord, Lord," saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But it was too late. But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." Could there be a more solemn way to die than that? Amen.
By singing hymn number 640 to the tune Stockwood 501. Hymn number 640. "Blessed Jesus, Lord of all, teach us on thy name to call. Help us to be much in prayer, and upon thee cast our care. Draw us, Lord, by thy sweet power, in temptation's darkest hour. Make us cry to thee our friend, and upon grace depend. Hymn number 640.
O Lord, this poor sinner has ventured with one of the most solemn parables in the Bible. And yet, Lord, it was one of the parables that the Lord Jesus spoke. And we are told that he used parables to preach his word. I believe it is a Greek word that really means setting the truth side by side to preach it. O Lord, I have known a few occasions when I've listened to very, very solemn sermons, and I've gone home wondering if I had any religion at all. Oh Lord, and yet, oh how I need thee to grant me the needed grace to go home tonight. At the end of this day, when Lord we hope with thy help committed the mortal remains of another of thy people to the tomb. Lord God, may we ready. Oh, surely, that is my greatest need now. May we ready. Make us ready, Lord. Could it please thee to go home with us? Grant, Lord, the strength of body and mind to drive the car home. Condescend to be with us, because, Lord, thou knowest what our need will be tomorrow morning. And yet thou hast said, take no thought for the morrow. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Lord, give us grace to leave tomorrow in thy hands. Lord, I know that I will be